because he lives and because my faith is in him. Amen, and he will never let us down. What a mighty God we serve. What a wonderful privilege it is to be able to take our prayer requests to the Lord. Not only to take them, but to leave them with him, and then by faith, amen, claim what God has done. My. The Bible says, with his stripes we are healed. Amen. And I believe that not only applies to our physical healing, but our spiritual healing as well. Whether it's stress, whether it's issues, things that we face. Amen. I believe that the Lord has already taken that punishment for us, and I believe that we can be healed if we claim victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Good to be with you on Wednesday night. My, the singing and worship was just wonderful tonight. I could go on and on and on just listening to that. And in fact, when I get to heaven, that's what I plan to do. I plan to just sit back and listen for a little bit, and then I'm going to just join right in. Amen. And we're going to sing and worship and praise the Lord forever and ever and ever. My, what a good promise that is from the Word of God. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like to go to the book of St. John to begin with. St. John chapter number 8. Verse number 12. St. John chapter number 8 and verse number 12. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. May I read it again? Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your mercy, for your grace, and for your love. For those who have gathered here tonight, Father, I pray, God, that you would speak to us from heaven tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that we would feel your holy presence tonight. God, I thank you for the testimonies of praise that we've heard, for the songs of worship, God, that we've been able to enjoy. Pray now, God, that the Word will prick our hearts. God, that we'll be submissive and obedient, and God, to your will and to your Word. I pray, God, that you would be with us in a mighty way. Bless those that weren't able to be here tonight, God, for whatever reason. Some may be sick, some may be traveling, Father, but I pray that your hand would be upon them. And I ask you now humbly, Lord, just to anoint these lips of clay tonight, God, as a vessel and an oracle that the Holy Spirit might speak to us. And we'll give you praise and give you honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Can you do that? Amen. Glory to God. I love praising the Lord. Amen. I never, ever grow tired of glorifying and praising Him. Tonight, if I had a message title or a thought, it would be Stay in the Light. Stay in the Light. I want to focus our attention on verse number 11, although the text that I'm talking about tonight is mainly on verse number 12. I want to back up just a little bit, maybe lay a little bit of groundwork. This was when the woman was caught in the very act of adultery. The Pharisees were bringing her to Jesus and bringing it to his attention. And the Bible says they did so to test him, basically to see what he would do. They began to recite or rehearse the Mosaic law. And you remember Jesus' response was simply to kneel down and begin to draw or write in the dirt. And they questioned him again, and he again began to write in the dirt. And then he asked them, he said, well, let the one that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. The Bible tells us that one by one, beginning with the eldest, they all began to leave. He was there with the woman that they accused. Jesus asked her, he said, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus immediately began to describe himself as the light of the world. Basically, verse 11 tells us to turn from sin and stay in the light. Basically, what Jesus said, turn from sin and sin no more. I wrote a note in my Bible, evidently on a message that I preached sometime
I don't know, in sometime in my history, but I wrote down guilty but not condemned. How many is thankful for that? How many can identify with that? Guilty but not condemned. Jesus could have condemned me, but rather than condemning me, he had compassion on me. He understood that I was a body of flesh and had compassion and forgiveness in his heart when I came to him with a repentive spirit, amen, and a broken and contrite spirit, and asked him to forgive me and come into my life. But I want you to understand, when Jesus forgives us and Jesus brings us into this light, into the knowledge of the Son of God, into the knowledge of the resurrection, into the knowledge of the crucifixion and what it meant. Not just it was a painful and terrible death, it was, but there was a mission to that painful and terrible death. It was basically because of the sins of humanity that Jesus was put on the cross and died for our sins. And he tells us here, I'm not going to condemn you, but I want you to turn from your wicked ways. I don't want you to continue to walk in darkness. I don't want you to continue to go back to the lifestyle that I have freed you from, that I have delivered you from. How many is thankful that we're not in the past? How many is thankful that God has brought us from that and given us a brand new start, a new lease on life, if you would? And so thankful for that. So basically what we need to do is turn from sin and stay in the light. Now, I begin to think about Jesus' terminology here. First of all, he used the same two words that God used when Moses spoke, when he spoke to Moses from the burning bush. He said, I am. Go and tell Pharaoh that I am. Brother Walter brought it to our attention the other night when he said, I am. Jesus still is an I am God. Amen. That means he is present. The Bible says the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I believe if the Spirit of the Lord can open the Red Sea in the history book in the Bible, I still believe he can open seas for us today. If he spoke to the lame man and the lame man began to walk, I still believe that God can speak to those today. There can still be healing. There can still be deliverance. There can still be those who are set free from the chains of sin and the bondage of this world. Amen. Thank God that he is a delivering God. And as he delivers us, he expects us to walk in the light and to remain in the light and stay in the light. And I begin to think about that. First of all, I want us to understand that he began to use the terminology that was familiar to the Pharisees. Have you ever noticed in the New Testament when Jesus speaks, he knows his crowd? Amen? He was able to speak to those of the lowest degree and yet still be able to hold his own in a conversation with those who were held in the highest esteem, or those who in fact were royalty or well-educated. Jesus knew his congregation. He knew this audience that he was speaking to. And he began to use the terminology of light. Bible history tells us that the Pharisees were very in tune to the symbolism of light. Light played a very important part in their spiritual walk and their obeying the Mosaic law. Basically, the light it was conveyed basically as the promise it conveyed something positive, it portrayed goodness, it portrayed life, and it portrayed hope. So when Jesus just used the word light, he didn't just happen to think of something right off the tip of his tongue. He had a reason for qualifying, or reason for exemplifying himself as the light. Amen. I am the light, he said. I am the light. Amen. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So Jesus said, if you want a relationship with me, first of all, you got to realize that I am that light. And secondly, you got to realize that you need to operate and walk in the light of God. Amen. And when we walk in the light, how many knows that the light illuminates? How many has ever heard the term, there's things that they would do in the darkness? Come on, sin and is a part of Satan's device. It is a part of his weaponry that he wants the people to think that if you do and commit these things away from the light or in the darkness, nobody knows. It's not going to hurt anybody. But Jesus says, don't be a part of that. Come out of the darkness. In fact, he says, if you're going to be a servant of mine, if you're going to have a relationship with me, you need not walk in darkness anymore. We have no reason to walk in darkness. If you've been set free, if you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you, you don't need to walk in the darkness, because let me tell you what the darkness conveys according to the Pharisaical beliefs in that time. Darkness conveyed evil, negativity, death, or the unknown. So even that particular time, the people talked about darkness as something that you needed to stay away from, something that you needed to get away and not be a part of that. And Jesus told them how to live in the light, how to operate in the light, and how to walk in the light. And I begin to think about walking in the light. If you're walking in the light, there's not much you can hide. Amen? Things are going to be illuminated. Your life is going to be illuminated. You know, many, many people who have just, maybe new converts, have just been born again and started a walk for the Lord. How many knows that you become a walking billboard for Jesus? Man, maybe you say, well, I don't have a testimony. Yes, you do. Your life is a testimony, because you're walking now in the light. You shun the darkness, the spiritual darkness that I'm talking about. There's a new lease on life. There's a transformation that's taken place. How many can relate to that? How many, when you came up out of that altar, you knew that very moment your life was changed forever? Amen. I went down a sinner, but I came back, praise God, a born-again child of God. No wonder the Bible talks about being a born-again experience, praise God, because my old life, amen, was in darkness. My old life, there was sin there. There was bondage there. But when I came and released it to Jesus Christ, that night that I gave my life totally to the Lord, it wasn't just because I was in a bad mood. It wasn't just because I'd had a bad day. I had had a bad time living the life, the lifestyle that I was living, and I knew I needed a change in my life. And I came to the light. Glory to God. I don't know with how it was when you received the power of the Lord into your life. I don't know how it was when you repented and gave your soul to Jesus. But I would imagine it was very similar to mine. My eyes were closed just as tight as they could be. I was glorifying and praising to God and thanking Him for what He had done. But seemingly, even with my eyes completely shut, there was seemingly a light around me. Something that I can't hardly describe. My vocabulary won't allow me to describe it adequately, but there was something that came over me, a glorious light, a glorious shining, and I knew that was the Spirit of God, and I thank God for that. But let me tell you something, what we received when we was born again, we don't hang it up when we walk outside the doors. How many knows we need to continue to stay in the light, to live in the light, amen, to communicate to others in the light of the Lord. Amen. Because what we're doing, amen, is a walking testimony for what we need to be advertising about being born again and being filled with the baptism of the Lord. Jesus declares He is the light of the world. He plainly tells them that, I am. And I thought how wonderful it was to take this situation of where sin, amen, was not just a rumor. Sin had been caught in the very act of this person. But rather than Jesus turning His back on them, rather than it being a time of total darkness, and the darkness described by the Pharisaical belief was it was something that was evil or negativity or death or the unknown. How many times have we heard of situations in people's lives and our first thought is something negative, something that denotes the unknown, something that is taught, that we think about being miserable or unbearable. But let me tell you something, folks. That's the way we all were before Jesus came into our life. I've talked to so many people today, and they'd have one bad thing after other that's happened in their lives. We were today with Sister Autumn. She started this program of going to the homeless and giving them some biscuits that Chick-fil-A, thank God for Chick-fil-A. I thank God, first of all, that they're a Christian organization and that they're not ashamed of it. Amen. They're walking in the light. Praise God. That's, you know, sometimes that's not the norm today. Sometimes people believe in the Lord, but they're not really walking in the light. They're kind of walking in the shadows. That's a whole different thing. But anyway, we were able to take some biscuits to these people, and we were talking, and one just had recently been incarcerated and had just been set free or what, and he didn't have any place to go. But he was talking about, he says, you know, a lot of people talk about jailhouse religion and all. He said, but something happened to me really when I was in jail. And he said, I found the Lord. He said, and you could see it on his face. He began to light up. And I was just amazed to stand there and listen to that transformation that had taken place in his life. And I thought how wonderful that is. But as I got to thinking about it later and I began to think about what the Lord had laid on my heart, you know, it's one thing to make that start for God. And it's glorious. And it's wonderful. And it's exciting. And it is a new revelation. It is a new feeling in our life. But we can't, once we've received that, we can't turn back and operate in the darkness anymore. God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to continue that new lifestyle. He wants us to continue, amen, in His commandments and His precepts and in His statutes, the thing that the Word of the Lord conveys to us to do. So I thought about that. And my prayer, first of all, was a prayer of thanksgiving of what God had done for him, but also, Lord, keep him in the light. Lord, wherever he goes, if I never see him again, I want to see him in heaven, God. Lord, don't let it just be a start. Don't let it just be a feel-good thing, but let it be a continuation as he learns to walk in the light. And how many knows that we had to learn to walk in the light? Amen. Once you've spent most of your life in darkness, and now the Lord has taken all that away from you, you got a brand new start. Amen. You got a do-over. Praise God. Sometimes we have to learn to walk. We have to take baby steps a little bit. Amen. Sometimes our faith is not really where it hadn't really matured some. But God understands and He knows that. But He says, stay in the light. Stay in the light. And I'll tell you something else. When we stay in the light and the light shines on us, it's going to shine on our impurities. It's going to shine on sometimes when we err. It's going to shine on us sometimes when we make mistakes. But that doesn't mean that God throws us and casts us back into the darkness. Thank God that He's long-suffering. Thank God that He's gentle. Thank God that He's forgiving. Amen. But we are illuminated in that light because God sees everything that we do. He knows the very thoughts in our mind. Even before we can conceive them in our mind and our heart, God already knows them. And He wants us to continue in the light. So Jesus declares that He is the light of the world. Now you can't just walk in any light. Amen? Can't just do that. Because the lights of this world, amen, will let you down. They may look alluring. They may look bright. They may look like it's the greatest thing in the world. But those lights are short-lived. Amen. The cares of this world cannot bring you true joy and true peace and true satisfaction. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ can give you that feeling, can give you that security, can give you that wonderful promise that I am not alone. Amen. That no matter what I go through, the Lord is going to be there with me. So Jesus declares Himself as the light of the world. He then, in verse number 12, after He tells them and declares that He is the light of the world, He extends an offer to follow Him. Or He extends an offer to follow me. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He that followeth me. He's putting it up to us. Amen. He's letting it be our decision to follow Him. The Lord will love us. He will draw us with a convicting spirit, and thank God for that. But He never makes us or constrains us to walk with Him. It's an open invitation. But He's not only with His extended offer to walk with Him, He gives us a promise as well. If we walk with Him, if we live for Him, if we serve Him, then we know that, again, if we followed with a promise, He will not walk in darkness. Now, I read one particular commentary that was writing his viewpoint on walking in darkness as opposed to living in darkness. God didn't really say that we wouldn't walk through dark times. But that's very different than walking and living in darkness. How many have ever gone through a tunnel? Trey loves to go through the tunnels when we go to the mountains. And so many times, you know, when we get there, he wants me to tell him, Papa, when's the tunnel? And I said, it's coming up right now. But you know what? We go through that tunnel, but all of a sudden, you come out of it. Come on. Thank God that tunnel is not continuous. Thank God the tunnels of this life are not continuous. Sometimes we go through dark times. Sometimes we go through bad situations. But I believe all along, if we operate in the light, if we walk in the light, which is Jesus, it's one and the same. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If we walk in Jesus, if we operate in Jesus, amen, it's going just to be a short tunnel. It may be through a dark time in our life. It may be through a time of pain or misery. But thank God, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. I got a feeling we're going to come through that tunnel, amen, with victory and glory to God, because Jesus is walking with us and we are walking in the light. So his definition was that we're not walking in darkness. We're not living in darkness. We're not operating in darkness. And I thought about the world today. There's things that happens in the world today that those folks that are involved in that don't want anybody knowing about it at all. They don't want it to be illuminated. And that's the way Satan works. He tries to pull you out of the light of God. He tries to pull you away from that close relationship with Jesus Christ. He uses all kind of verbiage such as, you know, everybody else is doing it. Come on, you want to be popular, don't you? All of that are devices that Satan uses to try to pull us away from the illumination of the Holy Spirit and the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. But even with all of that, we got to learn to stay in the light. Stay in the light. Amen. I want to have a light on at all times. Amen. Glory to God. I know that when we go to the hunting camp, you know, so many times, you know, how many's ever tried to do something holding a flashlight? Thank God somebody came up with a headlamp. Those things are amazing. And we got them, you know, you can put them on right on your head like that and turn that thing on, and you got both hands free, and everywhere you look, there's lights. Oh, y'all not listening. I said, everywhere you look, there's lights. You look behind you, and it's illuminated. You look in front of you, and it's lit up too. Amen? No matter where you look. And let me tell you something. If you're walking through the woods and you hear something, you ain't got to find that flashlight. You just look over there, and it is automatically that light is there. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost lamp. Amen. Everywhere we look, don't you go there. Amen. There's darkness there. You need to stay away from that. Thank God that He is the light of the world, and there's life in that light. And He will never allow us to walk in darkness if we have that relationship with Jesus. Amen. So He not only extends an offer, but it's followed by a promise. If you follow me, you will not walk in darkness. The promise to have the light of life. The light of life is Jesus. Go with me to St. John chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. The author writes this in verse number 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. First of all, I want to go up to verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Who are we talking about? Well, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and he that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Now go with me to book 1 John chapter number 1 and verse 5 through verse 7. John writes here, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I wrote here in my Bible, and I looked at that word in the Hebrew, And that darkness there is not talking about an actual darkness where there's void of light. It actually refers to gloominess or unhappiness. Praise God. And I know you're going to say, well, Brother Eddie, sometimes, there's just not the happy times. You know, those are those little tunnels that you go through. Amen. Just because you experience unhappy times doesn't necessarily mean that you're unhappy. Amen. I am happy regardless of circumstances. And when you really get that into your heart and into your spiritual mind, yeah, you may go through dark times. You may go through bad times. But it can't steal your joy. And it can't steal your victory. And it can't snatch away your salvation. Amen. Because you're walking in the light according to the word of the Lord. So then he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Thank God that the light and Jesus Christ is synonymous. That's what he declared himself to be. Understand that sometimes things look a little gloomy. Sometimes things look a little bad. But you know what? Stay in the light. Stay in the light. Amen. I remember many, many years ago in Rockmart, Georgia, my cousin and I, we decided that we was going to get his go-kart out of the they used to call them coal houses. They were the little coal house in the back of the village. But basically, they turned them into little shops and all. And so we got his little go-kart out, and we rode it around in the yard, and his mother told us, don't you get out of the yard. At which we both agreed that we wouldn't get out of the yard. But the yard wasn't big enough for us to really, really get the full enjoyment of that go-kart. So in the little village, they have what they call the back alleys. And I guess it was because that's where the coal trucks used to drive and fill up the coal. I don't know, but they were called back alleys. So then we were up and down the back alley. We were okay. But it still wasn't enough. So we decided to get out in the street, drive around the village. And man, we was having time. We was up one street, down the other street. But you know what? There are street lights that shine so bright on those streets. We weren't hid anymore. We were out in the open. And the neighbors called Betty, Danny's mother, my aunt, and said, I don't know if you know it or not, but your boys are out riding that go-kart up and down the street. We got in the light. And the light shone that we were wrong. Amen. Let me tell you something about living in the light. If you'll stay in the light, God will correct you. God will put a hand down there to help you. Amen. It'll also tell on you sometimes. Amen. Thank God for that. I know I'm born again. I know I'm filled with the Spirit of the Lord. But I still need the correcting hand of God in my life. And I don't want to hide from Him. I don't want to have to go back and live in the darkness anymore, because I'm having too much fun living in the light. And I want to stay in the light. Come on, I don't want this just to be a feel-good experience. I'm in the race, amen, for the duration. Amen. What the Lord has started in my life, I want Him to finish. Amen. And I'm not going to finish until I reach that heavenly home. Amen. I want to be a part of those saints of God that march into that glorious place that Jesus Christ Himself has prepared. But in order to do that, I've got to stay in the light. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes life is hard. But you know what? As long as we're in the light, we've got a friend in Jesus. Amen. We got a helper. Glory to God. You know, there's a little song that says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, I don't think it's such a little light. I think that thing is enormous. Glory to God. Because the little light that is in my life is not me. It's Jesus. Amen. And whether you realize it or not, people see that light in you. If you walk in the light of the Lord, you'll be that testimony. And that testimony may plant a seed for somebody else to say, you know what? I want to be like them. I want to enjoy life. I want to know that when I die and leave this walk of life, that I got a reward in heaven. Amen. So come out, sin no more, and stay in the light. God bless you. We love you. Appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. If you would stand tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed. I know we've had prayer requests already, and we even had prayer before service started tonight for some children who wanted prayer, for one for himself, and then another wanted prayer for a friend's aunt. And I thank God for that, that she came up and got a prayer cloth, and she's going to give it to her little friend whose aunt has been diagnosed with cancer. Thank God. Train them up in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from them. You know what? I've often said that I want children praying for me because they haven't learned how to doubt yet. They have full faith that when they pray, God's going to answer them. That's the kind of faith I want. But if you have a need tonight, with your heads bowed, your eyes closed tonight, if you have a need, bring it to the altar. Come forward tonight. We'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. This is your opportunity if you have a need from the Lord. Praise God. With every head still bowed, if you have a prayer request, just lift your hand and this pastor will be praying with you this week. God bless those hands. We're going to continue to keep you before the Lord and pray God's will in your life. Brother Jim, if you would come and dismiss us with a word of prayer tonight. Again, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your sweet spirit tonight.